Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening worship this Lord's Day evening. We're going to have a short time of praise together at the start of our service this evening, and we're going to stand and sing together as an opening hymn of praise, number 93 in the Mission Praise Hymn Book. The invitation is to come, and this is a well-known hymn of Isaac Watts. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. It's good to remember that as we worship here, so are others in other parts of our own province and across our world this day. We join our voices with the hosts of heaven. We have one theme and one person in the centre of our praise, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And that's what this hymn helps to think about and to sing about. So let's stand and use it as our opening praise, number 93. Remaining seated, let's continue in a time of praise. And this word come features and repeats in a number of our pieces selected this evening. First of all, 1040, if you're using the books, you can look it up, they'll come on the screen. 1040, come, now is the time to worship. This is the time of worship. This is the Lord's Day. Of course, we can worship Him at any time of any day or night for that matter, but this is His special day and our day as His people to come together. This is our time for worship. Come, now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give our heart to worship it sincerely in spirit and in truth. So remaining seated, let's sing through this chorus.
Thank you.
729, please. This is our time of worship. We also have our place of worship here, the Lord's house. Again, the Lord is not confined in either time or space, but this is his place. This is a special place. We come to worship him here in his house on his day. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. Worship him, Christ the Lord. We'll sing verse 1 and also verse 2 that encourages us to forget about ourselves, concentrate on him and worship him. And we have the place, and of course the Lord Jesus is the person of our worship. We'll sing a couple of pieces on that theme. First of all, 492, please. 492. Calling on us to come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our King. Let us whisper his name, wonderful name, Jesus our Lord and King. 492. Singing it through just the once. Thank you. Number 99, please. Still worshipping the Lord Jesus, our King, our Saviour. That piece sets an air of reverence. It's right to come before him with reverence because he is our God and King. But we come with joy. We come to celebrate because of his great gift of love, his Son, the Lord Jesus, dying on the cross. Come on and celebrate his gift of love. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gave us life by giving himself for us. Just again, the once. Singing it through. 914, please. 914 reminds us of that great truth, inescapable truth, that we come before him to worship him, and we have salvation from him only by his grace, not through any merits of our own in any way at all. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Come unto me, the Lord said. Into your presence you draw us, and now by your grace we come. So let's remember that as we sing this piece through 914. Piece, let's stand and sing it again. That piece borrowed words from Scripture, so too does this one. It keeps up that invitational theme. The Lord says to come. His word calls us to come, and this time from the Old Testament, 591, famous, well-known, and I hope loved words from the prophecy of Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord, all ye people. Turn to him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his own way and call on him while he may hear. Great words of invitation of the gospel. Let's stand and sing it through to finish this portion of praise this evening.
Rodney, and it's good to see you out tonight at this outreach service, and I'm just going to call upon Colin to come and to open in prayer.
Okay, let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we indeed give you thanks for being here tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight, Lord, an opportunity to meet around your people, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are the one who never changes. Father, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Father, thank you for our brother who's come here tonight, our brother Bob who's come to witness to us in song and word, Lord. Father, pray you'll bless him tonight, and pray you'll bless him in his work, Lord, as he works as secretary, Lord. Father, it's a challenging job, Heavenly Father, but I pray, Lord, that you'll be with him in all that he says and does, Lord. And Father, we do indeed thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Father, bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
Thanks, Colm. And just at this point, I'm going to make the announcements, and then we'll have our offering, and then we'll have a hymn, and then our visitor will take over. I'm very glad to welcome tonight to this service Mr. Bobby Brown. Bobby and I have been friends for nearly 30 years now, I'm sure, and I remember him starting off in the Belfast City Mission. I already had been in for a couple of years. Bobby is still there, and he's the secretary of the mission now, and I'm so glad to have him at our service tonight. He's going to speak, he's going to sing, he's going to give a word of testimony, and so about 9:30 we should be ready to go home. And so please don't rush away after the service. There's a cup of tea in the back hall. So please come in and mingle, have a cup of tea and a biscuit. Now there's the announcements, as you can see them there, at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and Bible study. And we continue our studies in the book of Philippians, we're in the last chapter. And we'll continue that on Tuesday night. But that's only the more inferior part, if you like, of a prayer meeting. The emphasis is upon prayer. The prayer meeting would be more important than the Bible study as such. And so I trust as many as God's people will come out to that meeting. On Wednesday morning, the 1st of May, the Wednesday, the Good Company ladies outing. And we leave here at 9:30. And it's good to see a good number of names on the sheet, on the vestibule table. You can still put your name down tonight. We're going to Dobby's, the garden centre just outside Lisburn there, and then up into Lisburn. There's plenty of eating houses for lunch. There's the mall, there's the Faith Mission bookshop in Lisburn there too. So we leave at 9:30 and we're home here at around 3:30. Friday at 8 o'clock will be the deacons' meeting. And then next Lord's Day, the first Sunday of the month, a time of prayer at 9 o'clock in the back hall here. And then 10:15, Sunday school and Bible class. Both are services, 11:30 and 6:30. The speaker will be Mr. Ernie Croft. And believers will meet around the Lord's table after the morning service, our time of prayer at 6:10. And just one more announcement regarding the women's study group. And usually in May you finish with a meal. And so Millside up in Clock Mills has been booked for Friday week, the 10th of May at 7:15. And so I don't know if there's a sheet, or just inform Carl if you're going to that. But certainly that has been reserved for that night. Now these are all the announcements, and we thank the group for playing. And we'll now take up our offerings. Thank you. have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tender mercies, which are over all your works. We thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. Thank you for all your blessings throughout our lives. Thank you most of all for access to the gospel, for knowledge of the gospel. And the greatest knowledge that we can have in life is a knowledge of God. And Lord, we do pray that once again, at this another Sunday evening service, another opportunity to hear your word, that we'll not just let these things that we hear just to go in one ear and out the other. But as Hebrews says, we are to give the more earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest we should let them slip, lest they should drift away from us. These are the most important things that we can ever hear about and talk about and think about, the things of God, the things of eternity concerning our souls. And so, Lord, do bless this hour, we pray. May it be a life-changing hour for someone in our service tonight. And do bless, Lord, the Belfast City Mission Halls that will begin their services just around now, 7 o'clock. We do thank you for this great work and working in different districts of Belfast, north, south, east and west, and all the door-to-door visitation that goes on week by week, the many contacts that are made. We pray that you will bless each one. City missions indeed right across Britain, the London City Mission and Manchester and Birmingham, Coventry, Leeds, Chester. Lord, we pray that you will bless them each one. Thank you for the many hundreds that are being reached with the gospel each week. And so, Lord, we just look to you now and continue with us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, before handing the service over to Bobby, we'll stand and sing the hymn that will be on the screen. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Raymond for his kind words of welcome to the church here, the Congregational Church in Ballymena. And as Raymond said, I was just counting back there. I first got to know Raymond 28 years ago when I left Short Brothers in Harlan and took up the work in the Belfast City Mission. As Raymond said, he was already there a couple of years before me. And we've been friends down through all of those years. And he stuck it down here rightly. You must be looking after him. He stuck it rightly. And he's often, him and Carl are often in our prayers, as are all of our mission staff who leave and go into ministry and other parts of Christian ministry each Friday morning as we meet at our staff meetings. I come from East Belfast. You know I'm not from Ballymena by my accent. I come from the East, and I came from a little street called Templemore Street that runs from the Albert Bridge Road right through to the Bearsbridge Road. If you can imagine those little rows of houses, it's what we call a two-up, two-down house, little kitchen house. One of our missionaries used to say our houses were that wee. You put the front door key in, you broke the back window. That's how small they were. And there was five of us. I'm the eldest of five children, and my mum and dad. And from a very early age, I remember being taken along to the local Belfast City Mission Hall. And that little hall was called Lord Street, Belfast City Mission. And my missionary in those days was a man who came from Ballymena, a man called Mr. James Leach. And all the children of the district simply knew it as Leach's Mission. And we all used to pile round on a Sunday afternoon. I remember it well. It was a pretty small little mission hall, and there must have been about 120 kids, rough and tumble kids, from round the streets, piling into Sunday school at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Sadly, those days are long gone, aren't they? But I have fond memories of being a child going to Sunday school. There was maybe about a dozen Sunday school teachers sitting on the old wooden forms. And part and parcel of our Sunday school year in those days, the teachers obviously followed a Sunday school syllabus right through the year. And what they were doing was working towards what I called the dreaded Sunday school exams at the end of June. You don't hear much about Sunday school exams today. But I remember as a child being taught stories of Jesus, stories of creation, the prophets, the death of the Lord, the Easter story, the coming again of Jesus Christ. In those days too, we had to learn not memory verses, but memory passages. And maybe we had to learn a few verses from the Gospel, maybe John 14, 1 and 6, that I'm going to read in a moment or two. And we had to learn that off and set for exam. We also had to learn every year a memory psalm for the Sunday school exam. I always praise the Lord it wasn't never Psalm 119, but maybe a short psalm like Psalm 34 or Psalm 23. As Jimmy Cricket said, there was more. We not only were taught the scriptures, we were not only had to say the scriptures from Old and New Testaments, but we had to learn what was called the shorter catechism. And my mum used to put us through our paces every week, who was the first man, who was the first woman, of what was Adam made, and all the questions from the shorter catechism for children. And the teachers must have had great patience in those days, because you can imagine what it was like, 120 kids all like Alsatians in that place going mad. And I often say when I'm giving a testimony that as a child I remember that the scriptures were memorised. That as a child I was catechised. And God help the teachers, they were traumatised. And I'm sure they had the head for the forensics by the time they got home. But all that I was taught as a child has stuck with me right through my life until now, and I'm 60 next month. Even in my formative years, in my teens and into my 20s, little verses of scripture were stuck to my mind and to my heart that I was taught as a child. God's word will not return unto him void. I belong to the Boys Brigade of the local Presbyterian Church, 62nd Boys Brigade Company. I love the BB. I enjoyed the drill on a Thursday night and inspection. I used to work for badges, the Wayfarer's Badge, when you went out and walked through forests and got to know the names of trees and birds and flowers. I was a budding David Attenborough in my young day. I used to work for Scripture Badges. I loved to be involved in the football team. Sunday morning was BB Bible class. That started at 10:15. And there was a wee bit of blackmail that went on there, because if you didn't go to BB Bible class, you wouldn't have got picked for the football team. So it made sure there were ways that they made sure that you were along a Bible class. And all of these things culminated in that the Word of God, like Timothy as a young fella, I was taught the Scriptures as a child, from a child. I remember about the age of 15 and a half, I went to Orangefield Boys School, and you'd have career teachers and you went to see him or her maybe a couple of months before you left school, what you were good at and your subjects and what you wanted to do. And I was particularly, well, not particularly good, but one of my best subjects was metalwork, and I loved marking out metal and cutting the metal and filing the metal and drilling the metal and all this. And he pushed me towards maybe an engineering company. And I remember my father saying to me, my father was a shipyard worker, "Bobby, get the addresses of all the engineering companies around Belfast." There was, in those days, the Belfast shipyard, of course. There was Shorts, there was Mackey's, there was Hughes, there was the Sirocco Works. There was any amount of factories with thousands of men working in those days. And I must have sent out about a dozen letters, and I got one back. And the one I got back, I think, was the worst of the whole lot. It was in Mackey's, textile company on the Springfield Road. And I'll never forget my start date. It was August 1969, the beginning of the Troubles. And I lived in those days in Bloomfield, in East Belfast, and many a morning there was no buses on. And I had to walk maybe 4 miles to work, and let me tell you, I felt like laying down before I did any work. But those were good days as well. And it was really in the workplace that I got further and further away from God and away from church and the influences of people that loved me and prayed for me. At the age of 16, I started rubbing shoulders with fellow my own age, obviously, and we got together at the weekends. We went down to Bangor on a Friday night, or down to Newton Ards, rather, on a Friday night. There was an old hotel in those days called the Town and Country Hotel. Saturday night was the Queen's Court Hotel in Bangor, on the Bangor seafront there. And that's how I spent my weekends. That's what I lived for as a young fella, getting home and getting a wash and getting the aftershave on and getting your best gear on, looking for a woman when you're a young fella. And I enjoy going round the dances and different things like that. But even under the influence of alcohol, when I got home later on and went into bed and used to say my prayers every night, and many a night I got wakened up, I believe, by the Spirit of God. Little verses like John 3:16 were coursing through my mind. I remember getting up this night and I couldn't sleep. I was walking up and down the bedroom. Into the top drawer of my little chest of drawers, and just opened the drawer, and there was a gospel tract, and the text was John 3:16. And I was really, really troubled, but I didn't do nothing about it. My mother was a good Christian lady. My father died sadly at the age of 44, a chronic alcoholic. And I was following sadly, and my brother, we were following in my father's footsteps. And my mother's heart was broke at times. Her children were away from God. At the end of my time serving in Mackey's at that time were going bad. The textile industry was going down the hill. A lot of work was going out to the Far East and things were winding down. And I decided it's time I jumped ship and got a job somewhere else before I got booted out. And I was in, sad to say, a public house in Newton Ards this Friday night. And in the public house there was an old timer, an old dunce on a bottle of Guinness and a half. And I knew him, and sometimes you listen to the old boys, you know, the stories they tell, they're so funny. And I was moaning and groaning about the work that I had to do in Maggie's. It was hard work, it was hard graft, and the money was terrible. You know the way you have a moan now and again? Augie says, son, you want to get out of the own place. You want to join shorts. I work in shorts. He says, it's brilliant. He says, the money's great and you don't have to do nothing. I says, well, that sounds all right to me, as it would to anybody. He says, I'll get you a job. I says, could you? He says, no problem. And this is how I got a job. You'll not believe this. You'll not get a job like this today, I can guarantee, with all the legislation that goes on. I met old Geordie Johnson outside Shorts and Newton Ards one Monday morning. He took me into a little room. And in the room there was a table and two chairs. And behind the table was a man in a white coat. He was the foreman. And Geordie Johnson brought me in and he winked to Billy and he says, Billy, this is the wee fella I'm telling you about. His name's Bobby Brown. And he kicks with the right foot. That's what he said. Well, I sit down and he says to me, do you know what a joggle is? Well, a joggle's a wee piece of metal with a bend in it. I says, I do. He says, you start next Monday. And that was my interview over. As long as I was kicking with the right foot and I knew what a joggle was, that was me in. Well, my money did double. My wages doubled. And you had very little work to do. And the place of Shorts was fantastic. Never seen the like of it. There was Coke machines, there was Mars bars machines, there was little stores that sold sausage sodas. I thought I was in paradise. Couldn't believe it, compared to Maggie's. More money to spend, to squander on drink. And I did, let me tell you. I met a guy in Shorts, and his name was Ronnie McCulloch. Ronnie also worked for the Belfast City Mission. But in those days, he worked in Shorts, and he was a Shankill Road man. And if you know anybody from the Shankill, or maybe from the Shankill yourself, you know what I'm going to say. You're not backward and coming forward. Call a spade a spade. And Ronnie often used to speak to me about my soul. And when I seen Ronnie coming, I went in the opposite direction. I knew what I was going to get. But I remember this Friday, and it took guts on Ronnie's part. There was about five of us, and we were standing washing our hands at a big washing trough to go home. And Bernie came right into the middle of us, all fellas, 25 years of age. He says, lads, there's a mission going on in my church, and I want you to come on Sunday night. I don't know who it was. I know it wasn't me. But somebody said that we would come. Now, by the time Sunday came around, let me tell you, I didn't feel like going anywhere. I had a big head. My head was busting. But somebody called in the car, and we went down to his church. He went to a little brethren hall in Newton Ards and Scrabble Hall, Mill Street. And the preacher called Harry Andrews was the preacher. And that night he was preaching on the coming of the Lord. And let me tell you, I began to quiver inside. My heart was beating, as we say, like a long bag drum. And I knew that I needed to do something. I was afraid of dying without Christ. One of my friends waited behind and talked to the preacher, and he gave his life to the Lord. And I knew what he was doing, and I wish it had been me, but it wasn't. And after the service, Ronnie brought us up to his home, and we met his wife, Gladys, and she made us supper, and us lads began to talk about normal things that fellas talk about football, and about the foreman and work, and all these other old things. And then he began to talk, Ronnie began to swing the conversation round to spiritual matters, and about how he was talking about the coming of the Lord, and he asked could he read a portion of scripture to us. And this was all new to us. It was funny, maybe, in a way to us. And he began to read from 1 Thessalonians, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, let me tell you, I began to panic. And I said to Ronnie, could I speak with you, please? The other guys went out and sat in the car, and I simply said, Ronnie, I want to get saved. He said, well, Bobby, you know what you need to do? I said, well, I don't really. And he went through it with me. that I was a sinner in the sight of a holy God. That God loved me and sent a son to die for me on the cross, and I need to come to Christ and repent of my sins and to put my faith in him. And if I call upon his name, he'll come into my heart and into my life and take control of my life, and I'll be assured of heaven and home. And I get down on my knees, I'm not ashamed to say it, with hot, salty tears running down my cheeks. And I prayed six words. Six words. Lord, save me and help me. And that was it. It wasn't a very sound, maybe theological prayer. It didn't scrape the Milky Way. There was no theological words. It was a simple, childlike prayer that you can pray where you're seated just now. And if you're genuine, you recognize your sinnership before God and ask the Lord to save you, he will. Ronnie said to me before I went home that night that you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you need to tell others. You can't be a secret disciple. Well, I went home that night, and as usual, the eldest of the family, I was the last one in. And my mum came down the stairs and said to your mum, I got saved tonight. And let me tell you, she cried with tears of joy. And I'm so glad on the 3rd of December 1978 that I passed from death unto life. Of course, it's not an easy thing to go into your workplace the next morning and tell workmates that you've got saved. But let me tell you, the Lord made it easy for me. Because I got on the bus to the Ards every Monday morning, and at the back of the bus there was this fellow from the Newton Ards Road, a fellow called Stevie, involved in the paramilitaries. And I sat beside him every day, and he said to me, this was the first thing he always said on a Monday morning, Bobby, where were you last night? And usually it was a shorts club, a recreation club on the Hollywood Road. But he said to me, Bobby, where were you last night? And I says, it was at church. He says, you were at church. I says, Stephen, I got saved last night. And he went embarrassed. He didn't know what to say. And let me tell you, when we got off the bus in Ards, he couldn't wait to get into work to tell everybody. I didn't have to tell anybody. He told them all for me. And there was fellas that I didn't even know worked in the place were coming up and shaking my hand, and there was others looking at me as if I'd caught some disease or something or other. But you know, you need to tell others about your faith in the Lord. After I got saved, I went back to my old mission hall, Lord Street, and a new missionary was there, a fellow called Tom McLaughlin, who's the pastor now of Newton Ards Baptist Church. And as Big Tom, as we call him, took me under his wing and taught me in the things of God and took me around meetings like this to give a word of testimony and so on. And little did I know that I was going to be called into that very work that I went to as a child. And in December of 1985, I was introduced to the Kimberley Street in South Belfast as their missionary. I was there for 7.5 years and then transferred to Canton Street in East Belfast for 11.5 years. And then I moved into the office as George Ferguson, the secretary's assistant. And George retired there just 5 years ago, this June, and I've been secretary ever since. The city mission's been in my blood from a child and still is. And our aim as missionaries, as Raymond has already alluded to, is to do door-to-door work to reach the churchless, people who do not go anywhere, to reach the careless, and there are many of them, and to reach the Christless. And I would value your prayers for that work. It's not an easy work. You don't know who's going to come to the door at you or for you. One of our missionaries who's now in the glory, a wee man called, you'll remember his name, Raymond, Mr. McGill, David McGill, he was in Island Street. And he was doing doors in Island Street, and he came to this door, and there was this large gentleman came to the door. Mr. McGill tells a story that he had a big dirty vest on with a hole in it, gravy down the front. You can just picture him, can't you? Typical big Ulster man from Belfast. And Mr. McGill introduced himself and invited the man round to the hall. He says, if you don't get away from a door, he says, I'll eat you. Now, Mr. McGill says, if you eat me, you'll have more brains in your stomach than you have in your head. So to be a city missionary, you have to have certain qualifications. You have to have a skin like a rhino. You have to have a nag of brass. And let me tell you, you need a strong sense of humour. And it gets you through many a day when you've had a rough day. And you can share with others all that we have been through. I'm going to sing a couple of wee pieces here and then leave a short word. And let me tell you right away, I'm not a singer. Raymond said, bring along your guitar and do a couple of pieces. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm told. And the first wee piece. This wee piece is simply called Thank You for Grace.
Right here and now, bow down in your presence. Thank you for the grace that lifted me. Praise you for goodness and your mercy. Set a rebel sinner like me free. It was grace alone drew me to the Savior. Nothing in myself that I could plead. Filthy, vile, helpless was my standing. For the blessed man, Calvary. Well, I thank you, Lord, for all the pain and anguish, for the sin and wrath your Father poured on me. For it all, just because you love me, wash me in your blood. How I long for the resurrection morning, when we shall meet upon that other shore. See your face and the nail-pierced hands that saved us. Worship you, the Lamb. Here and now, bow down in your presence. Thank you for the grace that lifted me. Praise you for goodness and your mercy. Set a rebel sinner.
This is a good old-fashioned one. You'll know the chorus, so please join in. I better move this down a bit.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, with a little silver and a little gold. But in that where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I have a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we will never grow. And someday yonder will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion my own. I have a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we will never go. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I have a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we will never go. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
I'd like to read those verses from John 14. Verses 1 to 6, and for 5 minutes just to look at a few little sayings that the Lord says here. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And here's our little text. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, the great I ams of Christ. I am the light of the world. I am the door, I am the true vine, I am the resurrection and the life, and so on. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us this evening that He's the way, that He's the truth, that He's the life. But notice the words preceding those three things. He says, I am. To the Jewish listener, when Jesus Christ was preaching in the dusty lanes of Galilee, especially the ears of the Jewish people would have pricked up when they heard those words, I am. The Jews knew their history, proud people, and rightly so, the chosen of God. But hearing this carpenter of Nazareth, this man who was doing miracles and raising the dead and touching the blind, and now he's saying, I am. The Jewish people knew exactly what he was going on about. For their mind would have went back in history to a place in the backside of a desert, and there was a man called Moses tending his father-in-law's flock. And Moses sees a strange sight of a burning bush. There's nothing strange about a burning bush, is there? Especially coming into summertime, we'll see it up in the moors. The fellows have been setting fire to the gorse bushes once again, I'm sure. Nothing strange about a burning bush. But there is something strange about a bush that burns and burns and burns as if not consumed. This is a strange phenomenon. And Moses is drawn to this bush because in the presence of the bush is God. And God calls him to himself. Moses, take the shoes from off your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. I'm sure you know the story how God was sending Moses to Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. But Moses didn't want to go. It was the last place he wanted to go. He had fled from that place 40 years previous. And he started to make excuses. I'm not a man of eloquent words. I have a stammer. It couldn't be me. But when the penny dropped with Moses, he realized that he had to go, and he said to the Lord, "Well, when I speak to the people, whom shall I say sent me?" And the Lord says these tremendous words, "Tell them I am sent you. I am that I am sent you." God is sending you. And when Jesus Christ is saying these words, "I am," the Jewish people would have realized that here was a man who was a blasphemer. Here was a man who was declaring that he was God. And they didn't like it one little bit. "I am." Jesus Christ is the divine one. This is what we call the divinity or the deity of Christ. That is poo-pooed today, even in schools of theology. And we find it hard to comprehend that Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God, don't we? It's like the scholar who was studying Greek mythology. This fellow was a brain box. Brains to burn. Some people are like that, you know. That much brain is no common sense. They couldn't hammer a nail into a turnip, as we say in Belfast. This fellow was a brain box. Greek mythology, didn't even have to study. Sitting for his exam, and the professor put down the sheet, and they started off with an easy question. What do you call in Greek mythology a being that's half beast and half man? This fellow knew this, but he forgot. Had a senior moment. So he thought he'd take a stab at it, he'd have a bluff at it. Half man, half beast, he wrote down Buffalo Bill. And sometimes that's the perception of even believers. That somehow Jesus Christ is half man and half God. No, no, he's fully God. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Jesus Christ is a perfect human being born of a virgin. The seed of Joseph had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the birth of Christ. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. He was born of a virgin. Not these modern versions of Isaiah that tell us he was born, a young woman will conceive. Nothing strange about a young woman conceiving, but there is about a virgin. He was born sinless, spotless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Here's what he says, "I am the divine one." Then he says, "I am the way for the detoured one." Do you ever get detoured? Sometimes I look at the telegraph on a Saturday night, and if I'm maybe heading up the country on a Sunday morning preaching somewhere, I look at the roads division, what motorways are being worked upon and different things. And you take a mental note and you get up the motorway. And you forget and you're diverted maybe through Porta Down. So it drives me insane being diverted or detoured. And we can be detoured. We can be detoured by many things. As I was as a young fellow, as I told you there. We can be detoured in life by iniquity. Because we're born in sin, we're shaven in iniquity. We can be detoured by apathy. And the things of God, the carelessness of people. We can be detoured by heresy. If someone were to come to this church on a Sunday morning and preach a wee bit off the beam, would you even know? We need to know why we know what we believe. Jesus Christ says, "Listen, I'm the way. You're lost. You're lost. I'm the way. Do you ever get lost? Terrible to lose your mummy when you're a wee fella, isn't it? I remember getting lost as a wee fella. I was following one of these big lorries in those days. I went round the streets of Belfast, and there was a big hose come out of the back of the lorry and it sucked all the old glour out of the gratings. Not a bit of wonder we'll have floods. I don't do it anymore. And I was so concerned of watching this lorry from going one grating to another, from one street to another. By the time the man drove off, I didn't know where I was. And I remembered as well, I must have been about 8, sitting in Mount Pottinger Street police barracks on the counter with biscuits and a glass of milk. I was lost. My parents were going haywire. They didn't know where I was. Terrible to be lost. But you know what's worse than being lost is not knowing that you're lost. Because if you don't know you're lost, you'll not try to find the right way. I remember George Ferguson, my boss, called me into his office. He says, "Bobby, I want you to go up to Churchtown Presbyterian Church tonight and tell them about the work of the mission." I says, "Dead on, George. But where is Churchtown Presbyterian Church?" "Oh," he says, "there's something Tom Little Crilly." I says, "Where?" He says, "Tom Little Crilly." I thought he was talking in tongues. I never heard of it. I says, "George, you're having me on." He says, "No. You go up through Randallstown, Port Glenone, and you head towards Clodair and turn up right, and you'll find it all right. There's no bother." Well, I haven't the best of direction at the best of time, so I set out. It was a typical Wednesday night. I remembered, well, it was dark and it was raining. How typical. I got up through Randallstown, got up through Port Glenone, went away the wrong way. I was lost. It was about 10 to 8. Each minute. I says, "Desperate." I says, "Lord, help me to find this place." And all of a sudden, I seen this wee huckster of a garage at the side of a road. It was like a wooden hut. Like a garden shed. And one petrol pump outside. It was like the hillbillies. And this fella came out of it. And I slammed the brakes on. You scared the life out of him. And ran across the road. And I says, "Excuse me, mate. Could you tell me where Tom Little Crilly is?" He looked at me as if I was daft. He says, "I'm from Poland." Let me tell you, I thought I was lost, he was worse. But thankfully the wee girl in the hut was able to tell me. It wasn't that far away from it. And it's terrible to be lost, isn't it? Physically. But how worse spiritually? Maybe you're on the broad road that leads to destruction and you don't even know you're on the wrong road. Jesus Christ says to you tonight, he says, "I'm the way. There's no other way. It's not by denomination. It's not by confirmation. It's not by education. It's not by celebration of the Lord's Supper. It's by regeneration of God the Holy Spirit. For except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Christ is the only way. He says, "I'm the truth for the deceived one." And we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. My wife is called Martha. My wife, Martha, is a creature of habit. She has kept something under our bed since we were married. It's not a hatchet. It's not a shotgun. Or a machete. It's a set of bathroom scales. And as soon as she gets out of bed in the morning, out comes the scales and on goes Martha. And I know by her old face, if she's put on weight or taken it off. And then she says to me, "You get on." I says, "No chance." There are two things that I hate in our home. Bathroom scales and the bathroom mirror. Because a mirror tells you the truth, doesn't it? You get to my age and look in the mirror and you say to yourself, "What happened there?" Martha said to me when we got married, she says, "I married you because you look like Cliff Richards. Now you look like Frank Carson. And he's dead." You see, scales tell you the truth. A mirror tells you the truth. And the Word of God is a mirror. And the Word of God are scales that weigh up and you're found wanting. Don't be deceiving yourself. We can be deceived by ourselves. We can be deceived by Satan. We can be deceived by the secular society in which we live. I'm the way, I'm the truth. And then he says, I'm the life for the dead one. For the dead one. See, the Bible tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. Let me tell you about my mother-in-law. Her name is Florrie. Florrie's a typical wee Belfast woman. She buys the Belfast Telegraph 6 nights a week. She doesn't buy it for the news. She doesn't buy it for the sport. She doesn't buy it for the TV listings. You know what she buys it for? The family notices, the deaths. And every Wednesday night we go down and there she sits with her glasses off to see the paper like this. And the question that she asks you is, guess who's dead? And you have to start guessing. That's what makes it worse. My father-in-law used to say to her, Florrie, isn't it queer and funny how they all die in alphabetical order? But there's never a night in the Belfast Telegraph, friends, that the family notices are empty. Never. Always full. Someone's dear mum has passed away. Someone's father. Someone's son or daughter. Leaving the scene of time without Christ and without hope. The wages of sin is death. Not only physical death. If you die without Christ, spiritually, you will spend eternity without God, without Christ, and without hope, in terrible torments. But I have good news for you. That Jesus Christ is not only the way and the truth and the life, but he says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. This is for the doubting one. You see, we live, and I finish with this, we live in a doubting age. We call it the new age of freedom and liberty and do that which is right in your own eyes. And these religionists and occult members, they see religion like a big bicycle wheel. And in the middle of the wheel, there's a hub, which they call God. And they would argue that you can get to God, you can get to the hub through many different spokes in the wheel. You can come through Mary. You can come through Moses. You can come through Muhammad and all of these Mormonism and all these other things. And it gets you initially to the same God. Not so. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ himself. And if you're outside of Christ, you're lost. If you're outside of Christ, you're deceived. If you're outside of Christ, you're still in a state of deadness. Trust the Lord will speak to your heart tonight. And that you may call upon his name, and he will save you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby, for that great exposition of that well-known text, John 14, verse 6. We'll not forget that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're going to stand and sing our closing hymn, number 967. And this is Bobby's testimony, as any Christian's testimony. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. we thank you, Lord, tonight that that mercy is still great and that grace is still free for those who will come and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So bless your word to our hearts tonight, we pray. May it challenge those who are not yet sure of salvation, not yet saved. Lord, we pray that you will use this testimony and word tonight to speak to hearts. Bless us now, Lord, as we go our separate ways, those who will remain for a cup of tea, those who go home, again, Lord, with your word ringing in our hearts and ears. Bless us this night, we pray. Part us in your fear and in your blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.